All right, so get ready, because today we are going to do a deep dive into one of the most, well, I think, layered stories that Jesus ever told.
Go ahead.
The parable of the marriage banquet from Matthew 22.
Yeah.
A king, a wedding feast, picky guests.
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
just a lot to unpack here.
It's a parable that has intrigued people for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
What might seem like, you know, just a simple story on the surface actually opens up to some pretty profound insights about the kingdom of God.
Right. And that's our, I guess, mission today is
yeah.
to kind of peel back those layers and see what we can learn.
Yeah.
Not only for ourselves, but also for understanding how this parable has resonated with people across time.
Right.
And of course, I am joined by our expert on all things parables.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here.
Glad to dive in.
Okay. So the parable starts with, you know, this king who throws this huge wedding bash for his son.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty big deal.
Yeah. In that culture, wedding feasts were huge celebrations, often lasting for several days. So we can just imagine this king, you know, really going all out to show his son honor.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But then things take a strange turn.
Yes.
He sends out, you know, his servants with these invitations and people are like, no thanks.
Yeah, not just like a polite, you know, decline.
Right.
Some of the guests just completely ignore the invitation.
Yeah.
You know, going about their business as if the king's son's wedding is just no big deal.
Right.
And others are just straight up hostile.
Yeah.
Like they actually mistreat and even kill the king's servants.
Wow.
It's a pretty shocking reaction.
I mean, wouldn't you like drop everything for an invitation from the king? I mean, like, what do you make of their responses?
I think that's where the parable starts to get really interesting, right?
Okay.
Because Jesus isn't just telling a story about a wedding.
Right.
He's actually using this event as a way to talk about something much bigger, something more important, and that is God's invitation to enter his kingdom.
So, okay, so the king represents God. The wedding feast represents, like, entering God's kingdom.
That's right.
And those guests, well, they represent, well, us.
You got it.
Okay.
And their reactions to the invitation, the apathy, the hostility, and eventually the acceptance, those actually reflect the different ways that people respond to God's call.
And I think that's what's so interesting about this parable is it really kind of emphasizes those different reactions, you know?
Yes.
I mean, he sends out invitations like three times.
That's right. That's right.
He shows up with that.
And that repetition, that rule of three, as we call it in storytelling,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really drives home a point.
Yeah.
You know, it highlights just how persistent God is in extending his invitation.
Right.
Even when people initially reject it.
It makes you kind of wonder why those guests were so resistant in the first place.
Right.
It's not every day you get invited to a royal wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's where we start to see how Jesus is using the parable to challenge the assumptions of his listeners, right? Like, he forces them to confront that question.
Hmm.
What are we prioritizing over God's invitation?
Yeah.
Are we so caught up in our own affairs, our fields and businesses, so to speak, that we miss out on something so much greater?
And then you have, like, this, you know, the violence against the king's servants,
yeah.
that's not just ignoring an invitation. That's like hostility.
Right.
So what's Jesus saying there?
Yeah, I think that element definitely adds like a darker layer to the whole parable, you know.
Okay.
It reminds us that sometimes following God can lead to persecution.
Yeah.
Even rejection from those that are closest to us.
Right.
You know, if we remember, Jesus himself was eventually rejected and killed.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But then the parable takes another turn.
It does.
Because the king is obviously, you know, not happy with how his invitation was treated. So he's basically like, fine, anyone who wants to come, come.
Right.
He throws open the doors.
Yeah. He sends his servants out into the streets, inviting everyone they can find. You know, the good and the bad, the rich and the poor.
Yeah.
No one's excluded.
It's like he's saying, you know what? My son's wedding is going to be a party with or without those who originally refused to come.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, you know, brings up a really crucial point about the nature of God's kingdom.
Okay.
It's open to everyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of your background or your social standing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's pretty radical.
Well, absolutely.
Especially considering, you know, the strict social hierarchies of the time.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus is kind of turning the tables there.
He is.
And showing that God's grace is available to all who will accept it.
That's right.
So now the banquet hall is packed. Everyone's celebrating. But then the story takes yet another unexpected turn, right?
Yes.
There's this whole thing about a guest. He's not wearing the right clothes.
Right.
It seems like a small detail.
Yeah.
But he ends up like thrown out.
Yeah. What is that about?
Right.
So what was going on there? Well, it's a scene that really makes you stop and think, right?
Yeah.
Because for Jesus' audience, a wedding garment wasn't just about fashion. It was about showing honor and respect to the host.
Right.
So imagine showing up to a royal wedding in your everyday clothes.
Yeah.
It would be a major insult.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it's not just that the guest was, like, underdressed.
Right.
It's that he was, I guess, disrespecting the king.
Yes. And remember, the king represents God in this parable.
Right.
So the question becomes, what does it mean to show proper respect for God?
Yeah.
Is it just about outward appearances, or is there something deeper going on?
And that's where I think the symbolism of that garment gets really interesting.
It does.
What are some of the interpretations people have offered over the years?
Well, some see the garment as representing, like, righteousness.
Oh.
You know, that inward transformation that happens when we truly accept God's invitation.
Yeah.
It's not something we can earn or manufacture on our own.
Right.
It's a gift from God.
Right. Freely given.
So it's like saying, you can't just waltz into God's presence however you want.
Right.
There's a need for, like, a change of heart.
Yeah.
A putting on of something new.
Absolutely. And that idea connects with other parts of the Bible.
Right.
Like when Paul talks about putting on the new self in Colossians 3.
But, I mean, the parable doesn't explicitly say that the king provided that garment, does it?
That's a great observation.
What if the guest was expected to kind of come prepared?
Right. And if that's the case, it adds another layer to the parable's message, you know?
Okay.
It suggests that while God offers us this gift of righteousness, we also have a responsibility to accept it.
Yeah.
And to allow it to transform our lives.
So it's not enough to just, like, show up at the banquet.
No.
We have to be actively participating in the celebration.
Yes.
Living out the values of the kingdom.
Right. Like going to a wedding and just sitting in the corner by yourself.
Yeah.
Versus actually, you know, joining in the dancing and the celebrating with the couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's good.
So, I mean, that makes me think about all the different ways people kind of approach faith, right?
Yes.
There are those who are very focused on the rules and the rituals.
Yeah.
And then there are those who are more about, like, the emotional experience.
Yeah.
So where does this idea of the wedding garment, like, fit into all of that?
That's a great question. And I think the parable kind of pushes us beyond those binary categories.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
It's not about legalism versus emotionalism.
Okay.
But about a deeper transformation that affects every aspect of our lives.
So it's not just about what we believe, but, like, how we live.
Yes.
How we treat others, how we engage with the world around us.
Precisely.
Okay.
The wedding garment, in this sense, becomes a symbol of a life that's been transformed by God's grace.
Yeah.
A life that reflects the values of the kingdom.
And those values, they're not just about, like, sitting in a church pew on Sunday morning.
Right. Right.
Right? It's about showing compassion.
Yes.
Seeking justice.
Mm-hmm.
Working for peace. All those things that Jesus talked about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The parable is challenging us to move beyond a self-centered, inward-focused faith and really embrace a more outward-looking, other-centered way of life.
Right.
It's about putting our faith into action.
Yeah.
Making a difference in the world around us.
So the banquet isn't just a symbol of, like, entering God's kingdom. It's like a call to action.
It is.
Like a challenge to really live out the implications of that belonging.
Exactly.
It's interesting, though, that, you know, the parable doesn't really tell us how that guest, without the proper attire, how he even ended up there in the first place. Like,
right.
Was it an oversight?
Yeah.
Did he, like, refuse to wear what was offered?
Right.
Was it, like, a deliberate act of defiance?
That's the genius of the parable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It leaves that part open to interpretation.
Right.
It forces us to confront our own assumptions and our own motivations.
Yeah.
Like, we could even ask, what would it have looked like for that guest to have asked for help?
Right.
To acknowledge his lack.
Yeah, that's a good point. That kind of adds another layer to the whole thing, doesn't it?
It does.
Instead of being ashamed or trying to hide his inadequacy,
yeah,
he could have, like, humbly asked for what he needed.
Yes.
It's a good reminder that we don't have to pretend to have it all together.
That's so true.
Right.
And that act of humility, of recognizing our need for God's grace,
yeah,
might be the very thing that makes us truly fit for the banquet.
So the wedding garment isn't just about outward appearances.
No.
It's about an inward disposition of humility.
Yes.
And a willingness to be transformed by God's grace.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
And that brings us to another fascinating aspect of this parable.
Okay, I'm all ears.
It's the way the parable highlights this theme of reversal and unexpected outcomes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get into that.
Okay. Okay. So reversal and unexpected outcomes.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well, so think about those original guests for a second, right?
Okay.
The ones that seem to have it all. The social standing, the connections, the privilege.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that were supposed to be at the top of the guest list.
Right. Right.
But in the end, they're the ones who are left out.
Yeah, because they rejected that invitation. They
Exactly.
thought they had better things to do, or I don't know, maybe they just didn't value what the king was offering.
Right. And that's where the reversal comes in.
Yeah.
The people that were initially overlooked,
Yeah.
the ones who may have even been considered less worthy, I mean, they're the ones that end up filling that banquet hall.
It's like the parable is turning our ideas about, worthiness and belonging completely upside down.
Exactly. Precisely. And that theme of reversal, it's not just limited to this parable.
Oh, okay.
We see it throughout the Bible.
Okay.
David and Goliath,
Yeah.
the exaltation of the humble in Mary's Magnificat,
Yeah.
God often chooses the unexpected, ones that the world might overlook
Right.
to be a part of his kingdom.
It's a good reminder that God's ways, they're not our ways. Right. His grace is available to everyone, regardless of your background, your status, or, even your past mistakes.
Yes, and not just available, but lavishly offered.
Right.
The king in this parable, he doesn't hold back at all. I mean,
No.
he throws open the doors of his banquet hall to, I mean, anyone and everyone.
It makes those initial rejections even more perplexing.
Right.
Like, come on, there's plenty of room at my table. I want it to be full.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that kind of radical inclusivity, that open invitation to everyone, that's a hallmark of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
It's a place where, the last are first, the lost are found, and the outcast are welcomed with open arms.
But that doesn't mean there aren't any expectations, though, right?
Right.
I mean, we still see that guest getting ejected for not, having the proper attire.
Yeah.
So how do we balance that radical inclusivity with the need for transformation?
That's a great question. And I think it's where the parable is really challenging us to go deeper in our understanding of faith.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just passively accept the invitation. I
Right.
mean, we're called to actively align ourselves with the values of the kingdom, those values of love, justice, humility, and service.
So it's about more than just showing up.
Yes.
It's about who we are becoming in the process.
Exactly. It's about allowing God's grace to transform our hearts, our minds, our actions.
Right.
It's about putting on that wedding garment of Christ's righteousness, like Paul talks about in Colossians 3.
And that transformation is, I mean, it's an ongoing process, right?
It is.
It's not a one-time event. It's a lifelong journey of becoming more like Christ.
Absolutely. And it's a journey that we take together.
Yeah.
We're all invited guests at God's banquet,
Yeah.
each with our own unique stories and experiences.
Right.
So instead of comparing ourselves to others or judging their worthiness, I
Right.
mean, we're called to celebrate the diversity of God's people
Yeah.
and to extend grace to one another.
And I think that idea of extending grace, of not judging others, I don't know, it's something we often forget, especially, in today's world
Yeah.
where it's so easy to get caught up in those divisions and disagreements.
It's true. It's true. But, the parable reminds us that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We're all recipients of God's extravagant grace,
Right.
and we're all called to reflect that grace in our interactions with others.
It's a powerful image, a banquet hall filled with people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all experiences, all celebrating together.
Yes. And, what makes it even more powerful is that it's not just a party.
Yeah.
It's a foretaste of something much greater,
Yeah.
the eternal banquet,
Right.
the wedding feast of the Lamb, where all of God's people will be gathered together in perfect unity and joy.
It's a reminder that God's kingdom isn't just about, escaping to heaven someday,
Right.
but about bringing heaven to earth now,
Yes.
through our love for one another, our
Yeah.
commitment to justice, our shared celebration of God's goodness.
And that brings us back to that question that we posed earlier,
Yeah.
the one about worthiness and belonging,
Yeah.
How does this parable kind of challenge your own perceptions of who deserves a place at God's table?
Right.
Are we clinging to our own limited ideas, or are we willing to embrace the radical inclusivity of God's grace?
It's a challenging question, but it's an important one.
It is.
It forces us to examine our own hearts,
Yes.
our own biases, our own assumptions about who's in and who's out.
Absolutely. And ultimately, it points us back to the heart of the gospel,
Okay.
that God's love is bigger than we can imagine, and his grace is available to everyone who's willing to accept it.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And, I think it also points to that idea that, the banquet hall itself, it's not just about
Yeah.
the people who are there. It's
Cool.
about the atmosphere. It's about the celebration. It's about the joy that's present.
Exactly. And, speaking of the banquet hall, I think that's a really important symbol to unpack here as well.
Okay.
In ancient times, a banquet, it wasn't just about food, it was about abundance. It was about provision. It was about a lavish display of generosity. And so in this parable, when the king throws open the doors of his banquet hall to everyone, it's a picture of God's extravagant grace. It's a picture of his boundless love that's poured out on all of
And
humanity.
it's a reminder that there's always enough.
Yes.
There's always enough room at God's table for everyone who wants to come.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really encouraging message for us today. In a world that often feels so divided and scarce, the parable reminds us that God's abundance is overflowing and it's available to all who will simply come and receive it.
And it's not just about, receiving for ourselves. It's
Right.
about being a part of that abundance. It's
Yes.
about sharing it with others.
It's about extending that invitation to those around us.
Being a part of that celebration,
Exactly.
reflecting God's generosity in our own lives.
And so, as we wrap up our deep dive into this incredible parable, I think it leaves us with some really profound questions to ponder.
It does,
Questions like, how are we responding to God's invitation? Are we coming to his table with humility and gratitude? Are we willing to let go of our own self-righteousness and embrace the gift of his grace?
It's a good reminder that, faith isn't just about believing certain things. It's about living in a way that reflects those beliefs.
Absolutely.
It's about allowing God's grace to transform us from the inside out.
And it's about sharing that transformation with others, inviting them to join us at the feast.
So as we leave you today, we want to encourage you to keep wrestling with these questions, keep
Yes, like
seeking,
exploring.
keep discovering the beauty and the depth of God's truth.
And keep the feast going.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.